Man, what a wonderful song and what harmony. Touch of God on it. I enjoy that kind of singing, don't you? To hear me kind of go croupy on you. I'd asked him a week or so ago or longer, and God knew ahead of time that I would be hoarse and needed somebody. Isn't that good? God knows everything. Brother Brian, come preach to us, my brother. Looking forward to that. I was called to preach here, 3 months ago or so? In August. Praise the Lord. Pray for him. He's not a bit scared, I don't think.
Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And while you're turning, sorry, I should already have this on. Romans chapter 8. Before I get started, I'd just like to thank the Lord and praise Him for being with me this apple season. We finished picking this week, and all our apples are sold. We will still be delivering and hauling for a little while, but I thank Him for being with us and keeping us safe and being with all the workers and everything. Just thank Him during that time. So, Romans chapter 8. And as we read this and we look at this for a few minutes tonight, I want you to think about this. Our salvation is sure. Let me just start reading first. It says in verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Now, we don't have time to look at this whole chapter, but I encourage you to go back and read these verses before this. But we're going to be looking at the last half of this chapter tonight. "If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered it up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" I mean, we could talk about this verse all night, about the hope that we have in Him, the surety we have in Him. You know, we definitely don't have any hope and faith in the world, that's for sure. But we can have trust and faith and hope that all things are going to be all right through Him. Let's continue on. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Let's stop right there just a minute. The devil, and I hate to talk about him for a minute, but sometimes we have to, because he tries to discourage us. He tries to even make us doubt our own salvation. I don't want to give him any credit or not, and the Lord's going to put him in his place. But just as he tempted Eve in the garden, you know, God told Eve and Adam, "You can eat of all the trees of the garden, but that tree that's in the midst, don't eat of it. And the minute you eat of it, you shall surely die." Well, what did Satan do? He started immediately trying to question what God's Word says, what He just said. Did He really say that you can't eat of it? And then he says, "You shall not surely die." You see how he changes things, tries to deceive us? He'll do the same thing for us, specifically about our salvation. So for a moment here, I want to talk to you tonight that may have some doubts in your salvation. Probably all of us have went through it times in our lives. The devil is the number one problem with that. John 8:44 says, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus here in John has put him in his place and tells us who he is. So don't listen to him. Now, you that may be doubting your salvation, that maybe Satan's saying, well, if you did that, you're really not a Christian. You did this, you're not saved. Well, let me just tell you, it doesn't have anything to do with what we do or don't do. It's about what Jesus did on the cross. Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. He's given us a free gift of salvation. He loves us so much. He died for us. He rose again to give us victory over death. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's going to help us do good works. He's going to help us get past those times when we sin and do bad things. But still sometimes that flesh kicks in and we fail him. But that's why Jesus had to come and die for us. It's so that we can have life and have it life eternal. So the next time, as Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness, the next time Satan tries to get you to doubt your salvation, quote these scriptures to him. Ephesians and Romans and all these that the Bible talks about. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What part of that do we have in? All we've got to do is believe and accept his free gift. He's taking care of it for us. I'll share this with you. Several years ago, from time to time, and you probably experienced this too, I would doubt my salvation. And finally one day, the Lord had to whip me a little bit. He said, Brian, I died on the cross for you. I rose from the dead to give you victory over sin and death. Now, who are you to question what I did? You know? So, Jesus paid it all. And he took care of it for us. So, the next time the devil tries to defeat you, remember that. And I'm going to take it a step further. As I was preparing for this message, I almost prepared a message on the body of Christ, but the Lord led me this way. I got to thinking as I was coming tonight in the car, not only does Satan try to defeat us and try to get us to doubt our salvation, but he tries to get us to doubt our ministry. Each one of us has a ministry here in this church. You know, from the pastors to the deacons to the Sunday school teachers to the committee members, finance, media and sound, all of them. Awana leaders, fellowship hall committee, personnel committee. I can't name them all, but Satan will try his best to wiggle his way in there, just like a slithering snake. He'll try to get in there and try to defeat you. Just ignore him. I know it's hard sometimes. And he'll try to tell you, well, so-and-so didn't tell you this, and so-and-so said this, and he tries to get you off the mark and get you all stirred up and don't He doesn't want you to perform what your ministry is. Well, the devil has a destiny. And that destiny is that one day he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. But turn over to Revelation chapter 12, if you would. And I've studied this many times. Some people say this has already happened. Some people say this in the future. I don't rightly know. But I know what it says concerning Satan. We're going to pick up in verse 7 here. In Revelation chapter 12, it says, "There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." So we see here that old accuser of the brethren is going to be cast out one of these days. Or this, speaking supernaturally, I don't understand all this, but we know that he was overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we have victory over that. So the next time he gnaws at you and jabs at you, just ignore him and tell him what his future is. Revelation 20:10 says, "And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So just remind him of his future. Given these verses that God promises us of our salvation, promises us that we have life eternal, that we're saved, we're delivered from death unto life because of what Jesus did. It doesn't have anything to do with what we said. Now let's go back to Romans 8 and continue on. It says, "Who shall," this verse 35, "who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Because we have Jesus, no matter what comes our way, we can be victorious and conquerors. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the next time Satan tries to jab at you, just remind him of this, that there is nothing out there more powerful than God. Not even Satan himself. And because he loves us, because he died for us, because he rose again, we have victory over all this sin that Jesus, or that Satan tries to defeat us with. We have victory over that. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. We'll pick up in verse 6. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's all about his blood. You know, Satan tries to tell us, you're not good enough to go to heaven. But we are good enough through Jesus Christ. One of these days, we're going to get white robes. We're not worthy because we're sinners, but because of Jesus, we are worthy. And we're going to receive those white robes because of what Jesus did for us. It says, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So we see here, all we have to do, as I read in Ephesians and in Romans, is we got to believe that what Jesus did on the cross was enough. There may be some of you out there today that's never took that step to believe in him. Maybe somebody on the web. Maybe somebody listening to a CD. Jesus says you've got to believe. Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus told his disciples to preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For you out there that have never believed that Jesus died for you, today is the day that you need to do that. It says, as we read in Romans, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You will be saved from this wrath, from hell, from this lake of fire that Satan's going to be thrown into, and all those others that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Please accept him today before it's too late. John 10 says, 27-30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you one of his sheep? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So, you that may be doubting your salvation, you that may have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, all we have to do is accept that free gift, and we can have that sure salvation, or that God, no one can pluck us out of his hand. 29 says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So, as we close here tonight, I just ask you, think about this as we're closing. And Randy, if you would come sing that song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Do you know that? Sing that song. And for you out there that may be struggling with doubting your salvation, for you out there that may have never accepted Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I ask that you'd come. Take care of that tonight. Come to this altar and cry out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. and I need you to forgive me. I'm sorry for my sins. Cry out to Him tonight. For you that are doubting your salvation, come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry for doubting you. I'm sorry for listening to that old deceiver, the devil, and not listening to you and your promises and your word. So if you would at this time, come all that will and do what the Lord would have you to do. Go ahead when you're ready, Randy.